Last year at this time, we found ourselves in an interesting situation when we were facing summer camps. And a lot of you can remember that we were in a situation where we were having some discrepancies with our federal government over an attestation that we could not sign. How many remember that situation? I went to the MP, our MP, and I told him after, I said, thank you very much. And he said, why? I said, because the way you guys worded that rallied the forces of our church. And we had one of the greatest offerings we've ever had for summer programming. And I said, and we had one of the best programs and the best summers we've had. And I don't know if he thought that was exciting or non-exciting, but I know that some of you very politely and kindly responded and made clear to our government that the wording of that attestation was unacceptable and all across Canada. And you know, the good news is, here's the good news, they listened and they took it off. And they took it out. And so, thank you for doing that. So, I say this to say that if you complain to your MP about that attestation, you now need to send a letter or a phone call or an email or a text or whatever you did and say, thank you, appreciate you listening to us. I am going to do the same. Having said that, this last winter, we've had quite a winter. Have you noticed that? And so two things happened to us financially. One is we had some cancellations, some Sundays that one Sunday we had to cancel, and storms kind of reduced our attendance. And then we had kind of our heating bill went right out of the orbit. And so the combination of those two things has put us behind financially. And I know God is good and God will help us and we'll catch up, but as we come into the summer, where we really don't want the summer programs to suffer, there are three camps, Heidi, three camps that we're doing this summer, and we really are believing God for great camps, great opportunities for young people, younger and all the way up, to have an opportunity to have a real meaningful camp this summer. And so we're asking you today to consider helping us financially with the offering. If you want to give specifically to summer camps, you can do so by putting on your envelope or going online or going back to the back and putting summer programs. In fact, if you just put summer, we'll guess what you're talking about. But that's along with your regular tithes and offerings and other commitments. We're asking you to really join me and step it up. I'm going to do the same. You need to know I never ask in an offering unless I'm giving. That's just my policy. So if I'm up here, it's because I'm giving too. I don't ask you to do anything that I would not do. And so we're asking God and praying for God that this will be a great summer. Now, the interesting thing, Heidi, is that we have four students that are going to be on board with us this summer.
We have, I think, five students that are with us this morning.
I didn't know about actually. This fifth one.
give me a second. One, two, we have four? Sorry. One, two, three, we're talking about this morning. Right.
Five, oh, yes. Yeah. All right.
Okay, but sorry about that.
This morning.
Sorry, we've got four.
So we did get a federal grant. Woo! We got provincial grants, and then we had, through some donation giving, we were able to add two more to that. And this summer, we're going to have four amazing, amazing students. They are just amazing because they're not just committed in the summer. They're committed all the time and really committed to the church, and they're going to be experiencing a variety of things this summer. So that's exciting. So tell us a little bit. Also, there's some other students that are going to camps. We want to invite them forward for prayer. Talk to us.
All right, so why I was thinking five is because we actually have six students that we're going to be bringing forward this morning. I'm going to ask that Kaylee Urquhart would come down, Sarah McLaughlin, Megan Plactis, Katie Kozak, Max Goodine, and Edward Demiakek. Would you give them a big hand? So here's the thing with these students, they're all pursuing ministry this summer. And so Kaylee is going to be at Green Hill Lake Camp. Sarah is at, come on over here, guys, so everyone can see you. Sarah McLaughlin's at Caton's Island Camp for the whole summer. We've got Megan Plactis here at Smythe Street with us, Katie and Max and Edward. They're all here at Smythe Street serving in variety of opportunities here. And what's so exciting about this for me is that they have a heart for ministry and they're just stepping out into it. And as a church, we really want to get behind them and pray that this would be a summer. This has been my prayer for weeks now for them already. Try not to get choked up because at this age, this could be the summer that they look back on their whole lives when they're really old like me, and they look back and they go, wow, that was the summer that I felt that God just shifted my life. Yes. And guided and directed my life in a way. So Kaylee and Sarah are going to be hitting some of you guys up for some support this summer to help fund their ministries at camp. I'm really excited about this crew on the tail end because, as you know, Next Gen Ministry jumped and ran in February. And I'm looking forward to sitting at the table with this crew who are already so invested in Next Gen here at our church and saying, how can we put the structure under this for the fall and really have a dynamic fall next year? I think our church is ready for that too, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, you can clap over that one. So I'm gonna ask the pastors and elders if they would come up. We're gonna pray for these guys. We're gonna pray that God just moves in a mighty way in our church and in their lives. And I'm just so excited about that. So if you would just stand with me maybe so that you feel like you're really participating.
You can tell that the pastors and elders are getting old. They take a long time to get here.
Guys, you need to know that this leadership, that they are the leadership in Next Gen Ministry. This just wasn't a job for them this summer. They're already doing it. Yeah. So I'd like you to pick someone. I'd like you to pick someone and look at them. And I want you to pray specifically for them, that God would just move in their lives in such a powerful way, that they would see God show up in such a powerful way in their own lives as they minister this summer. All right, let's pray. God, I remember being this age, because it wasn't that long ago, but I remember being this age and just feeling the call on my life for ministry. And I know these young people and their heart for you, God. And I would ask Jesus that this would be a moment in their lives that they would look back on and just say, wow, wow, God, that summer. God, we've been through a rough year. We've been through a pile of grieving even this summer. And I pray for a summer of celebration in our church. A summer of celebration when these young people can look back and go, I remember 2019 when God started moving in my life in such a powerful way. I felt the shift and the transition. I felt it in our church. God, we ask that it would come in our church. God, that we would see the fruit of our labor, even with Next Gen Ministry, come together and unify together. God, we call out for the hearts of children and young people coming to our camps this summer. We already look at registrations and say, wow, what are you up to? I think of our speakers. I think of Spencer Conway, who's walked through so much in such a young age, and he's coming to speak to our youth. God, I pray that you would give him the words to say, that you would give him the relationship collateral with our youth to speak into their lives. God, we think of Camp Lead. We don't want a leadership camp. God, we want a camp full of kids who are pursuing leadership with the character qualities of a life given over to you. So we ask that you would just move in a way, God. We ask for this fall as we prepare that you would guide and direct our steps, guide and direct our actions, that you would be all over all of it. So God, we just celebrate the fact that we have so many students who want to just pursue you wholeheartedly this summer. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Just before they go, Megan, how many graduates? Do you remember off the top of your head how many graduates we have? I think we've got 7 high school graduates. You know what? We're going to be celebrating graduation on the 23rd of June. So if you have graduated high school, university, whatever, or know someone who has, please send us in a picture for our grad celebration slideshow. But you know what? There are churches. I was talking to one last week who said, I'm kind of disappointed we don't have any high school students who are graduating. Guys, we've got high school students who love Jesus in our church who are graduating. Let's pray for them and celebrate them. Thank you.
We're going to let the ushers come and wait on you for your tithes and offering. There is a debt machine at the back. If you need to sit back there and take care of that direct. If you're like me, I never carry cash. I never carry a check. So I always give online, and it's because I'm so young and so modern in the way I do things. Jill, tell us a little bit what happened yesterday.
Good morning. We had an amazing Blind Feet 5-miler yesterday morning. It was awesome. We had 100 participants. We raised over $8,000 that went to support the Eagers with Mission Aviation Fellowship, and I just want to say an extremely special thank you to you, our church family, and to anybody who served at the race on the course. You made it happen, and I just thank you so much, and so do the Eagers.
Thank you. Amen. Another little praise report for you. Last week, we were talking about, in Matthew 25, we were talking about Freddie Link and encouraging some people to sponsor some kids and with Freddie Link in Haiti, and we had 16 kids sponsored. 16 kids sponsored. That's amazing. Generally speaking, over the run of the season, the people sponsor, usually it's most people sponsor 7, 8, 9 years. I did the math, Bernie helped me, and that represents $56,000 that we raised last week for our mission in Haiti. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let me just take a peek here because everything's all been shifted and I'm making sure that I have not forgotten anything. I think we're good. Are you ready for a little bit of preaching? I don't know what I'd do if you said, no, not really. I'm going home now. God has been really good. God has spoken to our hearts. In Matthew 9, there's this verse that has often caught my attention. I have pondered on this verse probably for 2 or 3 years. Just it catches my heart, and simply it says, when Jesus saw the crowds of people, he had compassion on them. Because they were weary and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. And I noticed the connection between Jesus looking and Jesus having compassion. He saw them, and it said he had compassion on them. It says, this is what he says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Have you ever noticed that you can actually see people and have no compassion? How many of you know you can see someone and have no compassion? You can see a group of people and feel nothing. They're just a group of people. Jesus tells a story about this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell amongst robbers, and they beat him up and left him to die. And then in the story, it says that a priest, now that's not a Roman Catholic priest, just so you know, it was a priest of their time, but a priest came by, and this is what it says, and I'm going to read it right from, it's Luke 10. It says, when he saw him, the guy's on the road, and it says, when he saw him, he didn't have compassion on him. He went to the other side of the road and kept going. And a Levite, which is one of the Jewish religious people, it says a Levite was coming by, and it also says that he went over and he saw him, but he had no compassion on him. He didn't do anything. He went on his way, passed by on the other side. Both saw him and did nothing. But Jesus said a Samaritan came, and when he saw him, here's what the gospel says, he had compassion on him. See, what's the difference? Two people see him and have no compassion, and one person sees him and has compassion. And it says that he helped his wounds, he patched his wounds, he put him on his donkey, and he took him to a place to take care of him. When Jesus saw the people, he had compassion on them. What makes the difference of seeing and having compassion and seeing and really having no compassion, being ultimately not moved? And I think the answer is right there in the next part of the verse. It says, because. See, there's the key. What makes it happen is because. Because they were weary and dejected, because he was able to see something beyond what he saw. You can see somebody on the street, let's say you're going into the superstore and they're begging. You can say, oh, a beggar. Or you can see something beyond. See, it's because he saw them, and what he saw was deeper. He saw them like weary and dejected sheep. Last week we were talking about eyes on the world. And I quoted World Vision founder Bob Pierce's prayer, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." See, I can only be able to say that prayer if I'm willing to see deeper. If I'm willing to see the world like God sees the world. To see the world like God sees the world is to look into people's heart in a deeper fashion. To go beyond the veneer, to go beyond the shell, to go beyond what you see with your natural eyes and let God show you what's deeper inside. And to see people's brokenness, and to see them as sheep without a shepherd, lost, vulnerable. So I want us to start this time together of message just by praying and asking God to open our eyes. See, the Brent Bishop saw beyond a people and saw a people that were broken and in need, that he started getting behind going and feeding these little kids with milk in Africa. He saw. You remember that, Brent? And that changes everything. Now you have compassion and it motivates, it moves you to do something. And I'm praying that God will give us this morning that would be what God puts on our hearts, is the ability to see people through a deeper level. Let's pray. Father, open my eyes to see the world like you see the world. help me to see below the superficiality, be deeper than the external. And let my heart be broken by the things that break your heart. May I be moved to compassion so that I can be your hands, your feet, speak your words with your tone, your attitude, your love, your wisdom, your mercy, and your care. Equip us to be representatives of you in our world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today in the Western Christian Church, is a very special Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And in the Eastern Church, it's next Sunday. They're a little bit behind us, I guess. And in thousands of churches today, they will be talking, they will be reading the passage of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit filled the church with power. And I would have read that passage today, but I just felt directed in a different way. And I want to go back to the verse that we read last Sunday, if you were here. If not, it's online if you wanted to catch the message. And I want to go back to Acts chapter 1, because for me, until you grasp the why of the Holy Spirit, you can't really go to chapter 2 until you understand the why, and the why is in chapter 1. And here's what it says. In the first book, Theophilus, Luke is writing to this guy Theophilus, and we are privy to his letter where he's giving a report. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and now he's writing the story of the church. He said, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day that he had caught up into heaven. After giving instruction to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father had set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria till the ends of the earth. And when he had said that, this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them, saying, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, and which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. This is God's word. Before Jesus left, he gave the church a huge mission. During those 40 days that he spent with them after he rose from the dead, before he went into heaven, he spent 40 days instructing them. And he said this, he said, Mark 16:15, go into all the worlds, all the, where? Worlds. In other words, eyes on the world. This is a big mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. He also said in Matthew 28:19, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world. That needs to be the passion. That needs to be the driving force, the bottom line, the relentless goal. I'm going to say it again. The relentless goal of the church, the mission that he put us on, that thing that drives us forward. I was thinking about this, and I was wondering, I was just trying to think, God, how do I emphasize the need for that passion, for that relentless pursuit of a goal that we need to have as a church, not just our church, but the church of Jesus in the world. It's a big task. And I'm sitting there working away, and suddenly I hear this strange noise in the back of my house. And I said, what on earth? In the back of my house, I put this airplane wire across, about 8 to 10 feet across, and I hung our bird feeder, and down farther, closer to the house, a suet for the woodpeckers. It's quite entertaining. And I hear this big noise. I'm going, what on earth is going on? And I peek out like this, and I look, and there is, and the reason I did this was because I knew that a squirrel could not get across that wire. And I look out the window, and there is this big hunk of a gray squirrel. And he's doing a balancing act across this thing. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He was like a tightrope walker on a circus. And he was balancing like this on this little thin wire. And I'm sitting there flabbergasted at this thing. And he's... And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I thought, what? And he going clean across 10 feet on that wire and got the suet. And he digs himself down on the suet and lifts it up. And he starts sucking away and chewing on that for all he's worth. Now, the suet is homemade. My wife makes it, and it's got peanut butter. And now I know the problem. And so I said, he's going to eat the whole suet. It's my last one. And so I run to the window, and I tap the window, and he lifts up. And I had the opportunity to video this, and I wanted you to watch this video. Now, he was losing his balance because he saw me in the window, but when he was coming across, he was very agile. So I said, oh my goodness. 5 minutes later, I'm back at my sermon, and back out, there he comes again. And I said, this guy's relentless. And so I had to go outside and shoo him into the woods. I said, get out of here, it's my suet. And he runs like a bat out of hell down in through the woods. I said, bye, finally. And I go back in and sit down, and I'm thinking, that's it. That's the kind of passion. See, because squirrels have one passion, one thing in mind. Does anybody know what it is? Food. I want to have what's there. And I thought, oh God, if we could only have that passion for the world, that relentless pursuit. And as I'm writing this down, oh wow, this squirrel tells me what kind of passion I have to have. I hear the noise again, and he's back. He came back 5 times until he cleared the suet, and I chased him down the woods. Squirrels have that relentless mission to gather food. And I pray, God, give us that relentless mission to reach the world with the message and the love of Jesus. Eyes on the world. That's the bottom line. It's a huge task. And we're still working at it. After hundreds of years, the church in the world is still on the mission. And so Jesus tells us to wait. He tells them, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Why? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria till the ends of the world. So here's what I wanted to share with you this morning. You, on this day of Pentecost, you are empowered for mission. You will receive power. I can still remember that verse being preached on when I was a kid. I was raised in Pentecostal circles. And I still remember they would preach on this verse, and they would always say the word power with this gusto. You will receive power. And they would spit. Sorry. The power. It was like it's all about the power. And the focus was power. Power. Yeah, have you ever seen those bikers that have the big bikes, you know, the big guys with the big bikes, and they have the big motors and you know, like a billion cc's under there, and the big pipes. And they crank those suckers up. And then the other guys walk by, wow, yeah, nice set of pipes there, man. Ooh, wow. And they're like, what do you have? Oh, I'm right, yeah, 1100. Can I hear your pipe? Oh, that's got a nice roll rumble. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're all looking at you, checking at you. And we miss the point. How many know that a motorcycle's muffler wasn't there just for you to gather your friends and say, wow, what a muffler? First time I bought my bike, my son said, Dad, you need to put a louder muffler on there. I said, I like the one that's on there. No, oh, no, it's not loud enough. And then some Christians, you know, it's all about noise and power. One of the most amazing things in my life, in my journey with Jesus, and I've had, I'll be honest with you, I've had amazing, powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit. And people love to hear those stories. Amazing encounters with the Holy Spirit, just mind-boggling things. But the thing that was the most impactful in my life was the day that I discovered that the Holy Spirit is a person and not an experience. The day that I encountered that the Holy Spirit is a person and not an experience, that changed my whole life. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling or a buzz or a high. And I have felt the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a show or a spectacle. The Holy Spirit isn't something, some cosmic divine energy that you tap into somehow if you do the right things. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants to walk with you. He is God with us. Jesus said, John 16:7. It is not, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the Helper will come to you. I will send, he doesn't say I will send it. I will send him to you. Jesus uses this rare Greek word, only found 4 times in the New Testament, and very rarely in the writings outside of the Bible. It's a very specific word to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the word parakletos. And it means someone who comes alongside to assist, to help, to guide. Someone who comes alongside to comfort, to intercede. In other words, somebody comes alongside to work with you, to walk with you. Not just in church. Someone who walks with you on a daily basis. Here's what I want you to take home today. And I'm trying to be brief. I know that we've had a longer service. Number one, the church is on a mission. The church is on a mission, and that mission is the world. That's the mission. The mission is the world. Eyes on the world. If you are a Jesus follower, you are key to the mission. You have a key part to play in the mission. Every single one of you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the mission. Each one of us has something to contribute to the mission, and you're a part of the mission. And if you are a follower of Christ, he has for you a specific portion of the bigger mission. And you're called maybe a little different than me, but you're part of the mission, and that's every one of you. Every one of you has a part of the mission. And God, the third thing I just want you to take home with you is God has sent his Holy Spirit. He wants to come alongside of you to empower you and to help you and guide you in your mission. I've had all kinds of amazing encounters with the Holy Spirit. I've been in church gatherings, special services where there were powerful demonstrations of the Spirit. And I know what it is to experience a Holy Spirit high in those moments. And the tendency is to want to camp there. The tendency is to say, yeah, I want that. I want that. I want the noise. I want the movement. I want to live in that. I know, because that's what a large part of my life was about. I think of Peter, James, and John. They go up to the mountain. The story is recorded in three of the Gospels. They go up to the mountain. And Jesus takes him up to this mountain, and all of a sudden it's called, the story in the heading of your Bibles, it'll say the Mountain of Transfiguration. And it's because Jesus transformed in front of them, and he was glorified in their midst. And it says that there was this Shekinah kind of glory of God that filled the whole mountain. It was just an amazing experience. And Jesus was transformed, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments were shiny as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter, James, and John are blown away. Can you imagine what kind of a scene that would be? The Shekinah glory of God is all around them. And there's a voice from heaven, an audible voice that says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And Peter is just going, wow, this is amazing. And he says to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Why don't we camp out here? Why don't we stay here? But see, that's where you miss it. Because that's not the mission. The mission is down at the bottom of the hill. The mission is down below. And Jesus points them back down. That's where the broken are. That's where the weary are. That's where the dejected are. That's where the people are that are like sheep without a shepherd. And it's good to have those moments like we had this morning where you just kind of sit with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak into your life. But I just want you to know that that's not the end game. That's not what it's about. Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit to have wonderful services. He didn't send the Holy Spirit so that you could say, wow, what a great service it was today. He sent the Holy Spirit to send you on a mission. And it's exciting as it is and wonderful to feel God's presence. And I love that. Guys, the mission is out there. I think you said that. The mission is out there. And the Holy Spirit really didn't come to walk with you and guide you and help you and assist you just so you could come to church and have a good service. That wasn't the point. He didn't say, hey, stay in Jerusalem until you get empowered by the Holy Spirit and then you have great services. It's not even in the New Testament. That whole concept of, let's have a better service next Sunday. If you think that way, and I have, you've lost the point. The point is the mission. He wants to walk with you on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. The greatest satisfaction in my life that I've had, and I've had a lot of amazing experiences, is when I'm outside of church. Like this week, it was called. Very difficult situation. The police called me to go and do a notice of kin to a family that was broken, to let them know that their son was dead. And as I was driving there, you know what I did? I reached out to my buddy, my friend, my companion, the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, I don't know. I don't have a clue what I'm going to say to this family. I don't know. This is a really bad situation. And as I knocked on the door, police officer behind me, this poor dad came out and he looked at me. He looked at the cop and I asked him if we could come in. Man, I could tell this poor old dad was beaten up. And you know what? When I drove away from talking to that man and his wife, I knew that the Holy Spirit had been with me. And I was able to pray with him. I was able to reach out to him. I was able to see the brokenness. It wasn't about the house that was a disaster, the living room that was dirty and stinky. I had compassion in my heart for this man and his wife. And I just reached out, and all of a sudden he breathed his head down and he started praying the Lord's Prayer. And I knew that I had my ticket. I could talk about Jesus in front of the cops because he started the conversation. And I was able to pray with him, hug him, and he felt the love of God in his heart, and he bawled and she bawled. But I knew that moment that the Holy Spirit was with me. You know what? I don't know how else to say that. That was more fun than having church last Sunday. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. That was more fun than having church last Sunday. I drove away and I said, thank you, God. I'm going back, by the way. I'm going back. I wanna follow this guy up. Broken. His other son in jail. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Right there where the sheep have no shepherd. And I want the Holy Spirit to walk in those situations with me and know you are with me. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so, what is your mission? See, what is your mission inside the mission? What has God called you to do? What does God call you to do? And if you find that out, and you should, that's where the passion is, then you can be like that crazy squirrel and just go after it with all your might. And know that he'll give you the power to balance on the little wire that's holding you in God. So back again just to next. The church is on an important mission. You are a follower of him. You're part of the mission. And the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of you and empower you and guide you. Jill, can we do it with our hands lifted up? I know it's not the song you're playing, but it's just, can you just stand and just lift your hands to the Lord and say, it is you we adore. And invite the Holy Spirit as we close this service to say, God, I'm here. I'm a partner. You be a partner with me. And I wanna find my mission. And I wanna do what you've called me. What you've called me. You might not go into a home like I did last week, but you'll have something else you'll do. And always remember to say, Holy Spirit, here we go. Holy Spirit, I can count on you. The mission. Can we say it with our hands lifted up?
Waiting here for you.
It's okay. See, he's just responding to what happened there. See, he obeyed the Lord, and he just responded. Isn't that okay? We don't have to freak out. He just responded. So, we were going to sing a song. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Waiting here for you.
Lift your hands.
With our hands lifted high in praise. It is you. With our hands,
I give you my life, oh God.
High,
I give you my Monday,
praise,
my Tuesday, my Wednesday, my Thursday, my
it
Friday.
Is you.
Walk with us, oh God.
We adore.
We are on a mission.
Singing presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise. It is you.
Be broken for the things that break your heart. May our eyes be open to see the world around us, the brokenness, the weariness, the dejectedness. Let us look beyond the facade, and may we be ambassadors of the King to come with the message of the good news of the gospel to the world around us on a mission, empowered and strengthened and accompanied by the Holy Spirit, aiding us and walking with us every day, every hour of our days. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you. On a mission, eyes on the world. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.